Hi everybody, welcome to my channel. I'm Deani. I came to the realization not too long ago that I forget to introduce myself at the beginning of my video, so I'm gonna work on that. Happy New Year. I don't know about you guys, but I'm super, super happy that 2020 is finally over with. It was definitely one for the books, and not necessarily in a good way, but you know. In this video, we're gonna be talking about purity. It's probably going to be pretty lengthy, so I recommend that you sit down, grab some headphones, some tea, a snack or something. I have my tea and I'm going to be drinking from it occasionally, so don't mind me. There are a lot of different aspects that go into purity, but what we're going to be talking about today is sexual purity specifically. I've broken this topic down into 5 questions or talking points. The first one being, what is sexual purity, or what is purity? The second question we're going to be covering is, what does the Bible say about purity? The third question, which ties into the second question, is, why does the Bible say it's important? Why does the Bible say that purity is something that we should aspire to have and pursue? The fourth topic is, what is my experience personally? And I'm going to try not to go into too much detail because there's a lot I could say. But I do believe testimony is really important, and this ties into the final talking point or question, which is, what have I learned from my personal experience? What are things that I had to learn the hard way? And what is my overall takeaway from what God's been teaching me about purity, and what advice I guess I would give to people who are struggling with things that I used to struggle with and still struggle with sometimes to this day. Okay, so what is purity? Now, I'm going to talk about what purity is in the Bible and also what purity is by a worldly standard, just to help us get a better understanding of what it is. So, purity is important to God, who alone is truly pure. Purity is often used in scripture as a means to communicate holiness or perfection that allows you entrance into God's holy presence. Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And now, a general definition according to society and dictionary.com is the condition or quality of being pure, freedom from anything that debases, contaminates, or pollutes. Ceremonial or ritual cleanness, freedom from guilt or evil, and innocence. Let me pray, because I thought this is going to be a lot easier than it actually is, and I forget that God led me to make this video for a reason, so He needs to say what He needs to say. It needs to not be coming from me. Okay, dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you speak through me and that you reach whoever you need to reach in this video. I pray that you put this on the timeline of anyone who needs to see or hear this message. I want to thank you for putting it on my heart to make this video, and I want to thank you for allowing me the honor of speaking to your children, because I'm nowhere near perfect, but you can use anyone and you can use anything to reach your beloved. I pray that you allow the Holy Spirit to say what you desire for Him to say. I pray that you don't allow me to say anything that isn't of you. Thank you. I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, I needed to do that because my mind is all over the place. I need to make sure that this video portrays what God needs it to portray for you all. Alright, so first we're going to start off with some scripture, because that is the, that's the cake. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-5 says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God." So basically what this Bible scripture is saying, that God desires for us to be pure. He desires for us to be holy, because we were created to be holy in pursuit of Him. And being holy and being honorable in the sight of God means learning how to control our desires, learning how to control our flesh, which is never going to be easy. But I believe that the first thing that is important to know when you're learning about purity and how to obtain purity is knowing that that's God's desire for you. So just because it's hard, just because you find it really difficult to remove certain things from your life that have a negative effect on you and your purity walk, does not mean that God does not want that for you. Just because God wants something for you does not mean he's going to make it easy for you. And the last thing the enemy wants for you is to be pure. He uses the things I'm about to talk about to hold us back, to keep us from being as pure as we possibly can be. And I don't think we talk about that enough. Galatians 5:19 through 20 says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." All of the things that I just listed, they are works of your flesh. They are things that you are going to have natural desires to do when in sin because of your flesh. Those desires will never stem from God. They will only stem from your flesh, and they will only stem from the temptation that the enemy is trying to use to lure you into doing, if that makes sense. And it says in his word at the end that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that is not to say that if you have ever done these things, you will not get into heaven. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that people who know these things are wrong, who refuse to acknowledge the truth of God's word, and they choose to continue living in sin, they choose to continue participating in activities such as these, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why would God reward you for purposefully going against his word, or purposefully, sorry, there's fuzz from my sweater, or purposely ignoring the warnings that he's been giving you? Some people are truly ignorant to these things, and not ignorant as in they're stupid, but ignorant as in they genuinely don't know these things are wrong. And that's why it's so important for other people to share their testimonies, like I'm gonna do here soon. But it's one thing to not have any inkling that what you're doing is wrong, and it's another thing to have people warning you, to hear about God's word, to feel convicted and feel in your spirit that what you're doing is not good for you, that that's not what God wants for you, and choosing to ignore that gut feeling and choosing to ignore the warnings that you've been given. Matthew 6:22 through 23 says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" What God's word is saying is purity has a lot to do with what you allow yourself to see, hear, touch, think about. I don't want to get into too much detail, but in the past, I used to think that because I hadn't lost my virginity, because I was still a virgin, that I was as pure could get. And yeah, I was pure in a sense, and I was naive to a lot of things in a sense, but there were a lot of things I was watching. There were a lot of things I was listening to. Garbage, straight garbage. I was watching a lot of movies, TV shows that had sex, that had stuff that I shouldn't have been watching in them. What I was allowing to be the norm in my life based on what society was telling me, based on what society said was okay, actually ultimately led to my downfall and led to me losing my virginity before marriage, led to me doing things that I said I was never going to do, and I was judging other people for doing it. I was no better. So what these scriptures are saying is your purity has everything to do with what you are exposed to, even involuntarily, what you watch. Whether it be on social media, you could be following people who post provocative pictures, girls and guys alike, because I used to follow accounts that posted provocative pictures and they were guys. You know, it's not right either way. Not me doing it. Okay. TV shows, music videos on YouTube, movies, pornography, what you read. I know a lot of people who like to read fan fiction, and they like to read smut, and they like to read erotic novels. I used to read raunchy books, and that doesn't make it okay just because you're reading it. What you listen to, music, podcasts, if you're listening to erotic books, if you're listening to raunchy storytelling. Yeah, the people you surround yourself with, what they listen to, what they watch. I also had to learn the hard way that a lot of people I was surrounding myself with were encouraging me and influencing me to do things that weren't good for me. All of these things tie into purity. And a lot of us assume that purity really just has to do with our own personal beliefs, our own personal values that we've been raised with. Like, oh, you shouldn't have sex before marriage. Oh, I thought the same thing, and then I had sex before marriage. Those values and those morals that you've been raised with mean nothing if they do not have a solid foundation. And that solid foundation is God, because where do those values and morals stem from? His word. Only everything's been polluted by society. Everything's been polluted by what our family members who went astray feel or think based on the experiences they went through in life. If it has no foundation in God's word, you are going to be led astray. It's not going to be strong enough for you to stand on when it comes time for you to make the decision, do I really want to wait until marriage, till I have sex? Do I really want to refrain from masturbation? Like, I'm not doing anything with anybody else. I don't see the harm. If there is no foundation, what's going to keep you from choosing to go against your morals and your values when the going gets tough, when the temptation gets unbearable? And speaking of temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." Just because a thought comes to your mind, just because you're presented with temptation, does not mean that you have to give in to get it to go away, to feel a little bit better, to ease that angst that's building up. That's what God's word is for. His word is the armor in which we're supposed to cover ourselves in so that we can withstand these things that the enemy is throwing at us and using against us. Okay, so these are just a few scriptures from the Bible that talk about purity, that talk about resisting temptation, that talk about impurity. Now we're going to talk about why purity, especially sexual purity, is so important. And I'm still going to be using some Bible scripture because that's what helps us understand. If we know where the word is coming from, if we know what it means, what the connotation of God's word is, then we can better apply it to our lives. Okay, Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." The misconceptions around sexual purity, purity in general, they revolve around our misunderstanding of why these guidelines were put into place. And these guidelines were put into place through God's word and through his instruction to protect us. He didn't just provide us with these rules and guidelines to be controlling, to keep us from having fun. He did it to protect us. And you would think that the God who created the universe, the God who created us, the greatest artist and scientist known to man, would have a good reason for including these things and for telling us, you know, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, it's not going to be easy, but trust me, I got you. You know, you would think we would trust him, but that's just our fickle human nature. And he understands that, but it's still no excuse to choose to do otherwise when you know that there's better out there for you. Now, when it comes to purity, it's something that starts from when you're a child, and it's something that can be ruined for you, not permanently, but it can definitely be tainted for you starting at a very young age. A lot of us have tainted views on purity. A lot of us are struggling with things in regards to our purity because of things that were done to us when we were younger, because of things that happened to us that we had no control over, because of the role models that we had growing up. You know, they didn't really know any better, so how are they to teach us to do any better? And even if they didn't know any better and they learned better as they progressed in life, some of them really didn't have the time or the wherewithal to sit down with us and explain these things because they were too busy raising us. They were too busy doing this, that, and the third, you know? One thing I do want to mention is that it is not your fault that you weren't taught these things. It's not your fault that you were raised on perverted values. It's not your fault that no one sat you down and told you you shouldn't have sex before marriage because this can happen, because this can happen. You shouldn't masturbate because this can happen. You shouldn't watch movies like this because it'll lead to this. And you shouldn't listen to music like this because it'll make you think about things like this. You know what I mean? It's not your fault, but it's important that you come to a point where you realize that you have to take ownership of your life. And in order to really take ownership and to start changing for the better, you have to come to a place where you're willing to surrender to the one who created you, to the one who knows what's best for you, to the one who can truly lead and guide you in the right direction. So I'm just going to address a few things that are pretty touchy subjects in the realm of purity, and they're pretty controversial. A lot of people, including myself, used to say that these things were okay, they were natural, and yeah, we're going to get into it. First things first, we're going to talk about masturbation. I know, it's like, it's a yucky word. I think it's a kind of yucky word, especially when I'm talking on social media in front of people and family could be watching this, but it's important that we talk about this because I know that when I was at the age where I was starting to explore these things, all I got was, it's natural. It's the human body. It's what you're meant to do. And that set me up for failure. And I'm kind of upset about it. Not that it's really anybody's fault, but I mean, so much happened in my life because of that faulty advice. So here we go. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, "Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body." Now, one, sinning against your own body is a problem because our bodies are not our own. Our bodies belong to God. Our bodies were created to glorify Him. Our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, we're sinning against our own bodies. We are directly sinning against God. We are saying, I don't respect the temple in which you're supposed to reside in. This is my body. I claim it as my own. I can do whatever I want. I'm not even going to acknowledge the fact that you created me for a greater purpose and you created my body to glorify you. Forget your glory. I want to get, you know. Now, a lot of people believe that masturbation is natural, that it's something that every teen should be able to do and that it's like a part of your sexual awakening, blah, blah, blah. I'm here to let you know that masturbation is actually a sin. And I struggled with this for so long. Not just the act itself, but definitely the concept of how doing something with my body in my personal time is a sin. I was like, what does that have to do with God? Am I hurting anybody? What does it have to do with God? I was genuinely confused until I found God 2020 and He sat me down and He broke it down to me. When talking about this subject, it's important that you understand that idolatry is a sin. Now, idolatry is placing anything, anyone, any circumstance, any feeling above God in your life. Idolatry is worshiping something, is finding comfort in something more so than you find those things in God. You can idolize music. You can idolize a career. You can idolize money. Money's a big one. You can idolize sex. You can idolize a person in a relationship. You can idolize clothing. You can idolize yourself. You can idolize your beauty, your own attraction to yourself, your own confidence in yourself. Idolatry is a no-go, and it's not acceptable in God's eyes, and it's something I definitely struggled with. And God had to give me a Holy Spirit whooping. It wasn't easy, but I'm here to tell you guys about that. Now, in regards to idolatry, when you are masturbating, when you are gratifying yourself, when you are seeking pleasure from yourself, you are idolizing your own body. not only are you sinning against God, because it's not your body to do that with, it's his body, you're supposed to glorify him, and you're committing sexual sin, but you're idolizing yourself. You are an idol. You're going into yourself, and you are seeking pleasure from yourself. This was really hard for me to grasp because I believed that, like I said, it was natural. God doesn't want us committing sexual sin before marriage. That feeling, that gratification you get from participating in those acts, those are things that you're meant to feel in your marriage bed with the person that God has for you to be married to. You're meant to feel those things after you form a covenant with your partner and with God. God created sex to glorify him. He created it to happen in the context of marriage. So imagine how painful it is for him to see his children, to see us getting into these relationships, participating in an act that is meant to please him, that is meant to make him proud and say, look at what I've created. A couple brought together to uplift the kingdom. Imagine how blown he must be seeing us doing these things, doing the very thing that was meant to please him, but instead breaking his heart. You're not meant to feel those things on your own, by yourself, for yourself. That's why whenever you do it, you feel like crap. That's why whenever you do it, you feel depressed, you feel disgusted with yourself. That's not because you just saw some raunchiness and you're like, you know, it's not a little, That's the Holy Spirit. You're being convicted. God is letting you know that you're not meant to be doing that. For a long time, I noticed that and I was like, am I the only one who feels like this? Am I the only one who's been thinking like this? Is that normal? And it is normal because we are not meant to be doing it. The act has been normalized, but nobody wants to talk about how it makes you feel. Nobody wants to talk about, you know, how disgusting and dirty you feel after doing it. That means something. You're not meant to be doing that. Another thing people don't really know about, nor talk about if they do know about it, because it's such a touchy subject, is the fact that things like masturbation and pornography desensitize you. You do it for so long that you can't imagine somebody else doing it for you. You know how to do it just how you like it. You know exactly what to do to make yourself feel good. You're idolizing yourself. You know, there have been married couples who have divorced because their partner had a problem with pornography or masturbation. It causes separation. You know, you start to lose the connection you have with your partner, if there ever was one, because if this has always been a problem, you know, it was bound to happen from the get. If someone's partner has a problem with masturbation, the other person starts to feel unworthy. The other person starts to feel like they're not appreciated, like they're not good enough for their partner. And the enemy uses things like these, especially in the context of marriage, to start planting thoughts in your mind. Oh, they don't want you. They prefer their phone screen. They prefer this toy over you. They prefer their own hand over you. Why don't you go look for someone else to do it for you? Why don't you go hit up that guy from your job who's always flirting with you, who's always telling you good morning, who's, you know, the simplest things. The enemy will use the simplest things to ruin a relationship, to ruin a godly marriage. And you're gonna think it's an innocent gesture. You're gonna think you're just reaching out to this person one time because they're nice to you and you enjoy having a genuine, innocent conversation, but it's gonna lead to something more, because you and your flesh alone cannot prevent you from sinning. You have to seek God out. He alone can provide the strength that you need to resist that kind of temptation, to resist the thoughts that the enemy puts in your mind. You know what I mean? And in regards to pornography, one, it's dehumanizing. It's unrealistic and it's just disgusting. And it sets us up for unrealistic expectations while we are with our partners in the context of marriage. You know, men and women alike start to expect things in their bed that just aren't realistic, and it causes division once again, and the enemy will use that. He will use that. And if you aren't spiritually mature enough to recognize that the enemy's attacking you with that, you're gonna fall. if this is something that we weren't taught when we were younger, and we were taught that it's okay to masturbate, it's okay to watch pornography and explore and just, you know, figure yourself out, you're young. These things set us up for failure later on in life. We go into middle school, we go into high school, surrounded by people our age who are just as curious, if not more so, people who have experience that we don't have. So we look to them for experience and we trust, you know, their judgment. We trust their advice because they have experience, right? Around that age, if any of us did have people telling us, you know, don't have sex before marriage, don't do this, don't do that. They didn't really tell us why. They just said, it's not right. You shouldn't do it. God says you shouldn't have sex before marriage. But does that let us know why? Does that enlighten us in regards to what the consequences will be if we do decide to do these things? No. Y'all, my tea is getting kind of cold. And 9 times out of 10, if you are out of whack in regards to sexual purity, you are out of whack in a lot of other areas of your life. And I'm only saying that because it was definitely the case for me. I was emotionally, spiritually, mentally unstable. Unstable. And it's not really that I had mental illness. I didn't really develop depression and anxiety until late high school and after. But I was just lost. I wasn't getting the advice I needed. And church does not talk about these things. They don't. Church doesn't talk about the things that we need to be talking about, the things that actually pertain to our youth that can prevent them from experiencing these things, or at least warn them properly of what they're going to come up against growing up in this society. And it's a shame. Purity in regards to what happened to us when we were younger, the circumstances we grew up in, the morals and the values that we witnessed, experienced, were taught, they implicate what we think, feel, experience, the decisions we choose to make from that point forward. There is most definitely a connection between those things and sexual impurity. Because if no one taught you when you were younger, you're gonna keep doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting a different result, maybe, or hoping for something better somehow, but you're not really gonna know how to obtain it because you're not pursuing the correct source. Understanding this is super important because you can't change anybody who does not want to be changed. But if you want better, if you want to do better, if you want your children and your children's children, future generations, to do better, it has to start with you. Because who else if not you? And I just want to talk about, you know, things that we couldn't control when we were younger, things that may have happened to us, that people took advantage of us, people, you know, they led us astray because they thought that what they were doing was right because it was all they had experienced. That's not your fault either. It's important to acknowledge that. Another thing that we need to talk about is soul ties. And in light of marriage and in light of covenant that we just talked about, which, let me remind you, covenants are formed by having sex. When you have sex with someone, your souls intertwine. That is why God intended for woman and man to join, have sex, after marriage. Because he has an assignment for you guys to complete together. There's a purpose for him bringing you guys together to uplift the kingdom, to bring other children and people to Christ. What we're not told when we're encouraged to go out there and explore our sexuality and to do all these things is you form soul ties. You're not meant to have a soul tie with anybody other than the person God has for you. That's why they're so dangerous, and that's why they're so painful, and that's why they're so hard to get rid of, because you're not meant to sever the soul tie that God has for you. But we get ourselves into these situations because we don't understand the consequences of sleeping with a bunch of different people, of giving our bodies to people who God never intended for us to be with. A soul tie is a connection in the spiritual realm between two individuals. And a soul tie isn't only between you and one person. You can have multiple soul ties. you can have soul ties to anyone you've ever slept with, to anyone you've ever dated, even if you didn't sleep with them. And let me say this, a lot of the bad habits we have, a lot of the negative habits we have in regards to our sexuality stem from our inability to sever ourselves from our past, from what we were taught, from things that happened to us. You can have a soul tie to someone who abused you in your childhood. You can have a soul tie to someone who raped you, who molested you. It's not voluntary. That's what happens, you know, when you do things like that. You have to bring that to God. You have to. He doesn't desire that for you, but He wants to make you aware so you can bring it to Him and you can ask Him to help sever that soul tie. It's not going to be easy. Severing a soul tie is not easy. It can be very painful depending on what kind of soul tie you're severing, how many you're severing, and you have to want to. You have to want to. But I say all of this to say a majority of us are not taught about these things. We are so ignorant, and we have been so ignorant in regards to how what we watch, what we listen to, what we surround ourselves with, the people that we get into relationships with, what we do with those people, these things affect our purity. We think purity is just believing that you should do this and you shouldn't do that, and cool, you know, that's how you feel. But no, it's so much deeper than that, and it impacts your life on a much greater scale than we can even perceive truly. I know I went on like a huge old rant, but all of that was for somebody. I know somebody needs to hear all of that. And now our fourth talking point is, what's my experience? Oh my goodness, I'm already 1 hour and 9 minutes into the video, so I don't necessarily want to rush what God is, you know, trying to convey. So I'm gonna just take my time and we'll see where I'm at after I edit. My experience. I already told you guys a little bit about what happened with the whole masturbation thing and the pornography thing. Like, that really set me up for failure. I didn't have sex until I was 19 years old, and I thought I was doing great. I thought I got this in the bag. But because my beliefs, my values, my understanding that I wasn't supposed to have sex before marriage wasn't built on a solid foundation, which is my own personal conviction, my own personal relationship with God, it was easily shattered. It came down to, are you sure you want to do this? And me saying, yeah, it's fine, whatever, I don't care anymore, you know, because I just wanted to do it. And after I exited that relationship, I learned the hard way what a soul tie was. I thought that the thoughts I was having about this person, the dreams I was having about this person, oh my gosh, I didn't even mention to you guys, but dreams are another huge part of soul ties, another huge part of purity. You can tell where your purity stands based on the dreams that you are having. For a lot of my middle school and high school years, I was having some horrible dreams. Horrible. I wasn't in a good place spiritually, so I was having a lot of nightmares. But in regards to my sexuality and what I was doing and everything, I was having raunchy dreams. And I thought it was normal, and it's not normal. When you have extremely vulgar and sexual dreams, it means you have soul ties and you have a spiritual spouse, which I guess this ties into my experience. I wasn't gonna talk about this. I didn't even think to, but I feel like God wants me to say this. A spiritual spouse is when you have soul ties, you are connected in the spiritual realm to a demonic entity. And demonic entities are not people of the dead. They're not people from your past. They are just demonic entities tied to Satan. That's it, period. They're demons. And what they do is they attach themselves to you through your experiences in your past, through the people who hurt you, through whatever it is that brought you to where you are currently at, spiritually, sexually, emotionally, mentally, they attach themselves to you, right? It's like they claim your soul, they claim you, and you will have dreams that are so disgusting and vulgar and realistic. And it can be people in those dreams from your past, but it's not really those people. It's those spiritual entities taking on the identity of those people. So you'll have a nasty dream about your ex or whoever, and you'll think, oh wow, I just had a dream about my ex, ew. But it's not your ex, it's that entity. And That's why some of these dreams feel so real. You will wake up feeling violated. You will wake up feeling like you participated in those acts. Everything will have felt so real while you were having that dream. For the longest time, I thought this was normal, and it's not. And when I learned about all of it, I was beyond scared. I was scared to go to sleep. It took a lot of prayer. It took a lot of spiritual warfare prayer to shake that thing. And there were a lot of nights where I would pray about it, and it would get worse, because the enemy isn't gonna give up just because you recognize it and you call him out and you're like, bye, Satan. He's not gonna be like, all right, bye, see you later. He's gonna be like, oh, bet. We finna amp it up a notch. And it wasn't just a notch, it was like 10 notches. It got worse. A lot of times when the enemy is attacking you and you recognize your authority and you learn how to fight back, he's not gonna give up like that. He's gonna fight you back. He's gonna come back even harder. But if you're persistent and you don't give up, he's gonna back off eventually. But yeah, oh my gosh, those dreams were horrible. They were horrible. It wasn't just the person that I slept with, it was other people too, just people I had attachments to, and oh my gosh, it was gross. If you're having dreams like that, pray. Look up spiritual warfare prayers. Look up spiritual warfare prayers for spirit spouses. I know if it's not something you're familiar with, it sounds crazy. It sounds like I'm insane, but when was the last time you ever heard anybody talking about this? That's what I thought. I don't even know where I was at. I definitely did have to learn the hard way what soul ties were. I wasn't just severing the soul tie I had to that person. I was severing the soul tie I had to guys that were my best friends that I didn't even realize I had a soul tie with. People from my past who were, it could even be girls, you know, not just in a romantic sense, but if you have a friend who you're really close to, or you were really close to at a point, and y'all like had this best friend breakup, that could be a soul tie as well, you know? So it wasn't just me severing that relationship soul tie, it was me severing quite a few soul ties. And you can identify a soul tie by quite a bit. Obsessive thinking, like you can't even get through your day without obsessing over this person or obsessing over this circumstance or this situation. I'm sorry, guys. It's so hot in here. But yeah, you can identify those things by certain behaviors, by certain mindsets, I guess I will say. Throughout my walk with Christ, since I decided to dedicate my life to Him, He started to reveal a lot to me in regards to things that were having a really negative effect on my purity. He revealed to me that the music I was listening to was a no-go because it was bringing me to my past 99% of the time. Certain movies that I liked to watch. I love romantic movies. I love, you know, and a lot of the movies that I liked watching, they would bring up thoughts, they would bring up desires in me that I wasn't spiritually mature enough to handle at the time. I talk about this on my TikTok. That's another platform that I use to share my experiences with God and things that He's taught me. But there is a point in your walk with God where you are not gonna be mature enough to handle listening to certain things, watching certain things. I definitely believe that there are things that none of us should really be exposing ourselves to on a daily basis. But I can say now that I'm a bit more mature in my faith. I can still listen to certain things I used to listen to in my past, like Lana Del Rey and stuff like that. Nonetheless, in order for me to come to an understanding of how I could embody God's definition of purity, in order for me to understand what He desired in regards to my purity, I had to sever these things. I had to separate myself from these things. I had to stop listening to the music I liked for a while because it was too depressing. It was too sad. It brought up too many memories. It was too much for me to handle. I could not listen to it without getting sad. I couldn't listen to it without thinking about something from my past. I couldn't. And that was hindering me in regards to my walk with Christ, because when I'm sad, when I'm feeling like that, which the enemy loves, he loves using our emotions to hold us back. When I was feeling those emotions, I didn't want to talk to God. I didn't want to read the Bible. I didn't want to listen to worship music. I wanted nothing to do with God. I wanted to sit in my bed and sulk. I couldn't watch things that I would have been able to watch in my past. I couldn't, I couldn't. We have to recognize that that's how the enemy uses what we enjoy against us. And there were a lot of relationships with people who I was cool with, but they reminded me of my past. They brought up my past. They were the same. They hadn't changed. They were the same way, doing the same things in the same negative cycle that they were in when we had been in each other's lives. Friends, fake friends, whatever you want to call them. I had to cut those people out of my life as well. It was all in love, but I had to do what was best for me. Now, me saying that I struggled with these things in the past does not mean that I don't struggle with them to this day. The enemy does not attack what he doesn't feel is a threat. So of course, when you make the decision to pursue God, when you make the decision to refrain from doing certain things that you know are going to hold you back from your relationship with God, that you know God doesn't desire for you to do, of course the enemy is going to attack you. That's what he does. He's a wuss. That's all he knows how to do. And he uses our ignorance, and he uses what we think we know, our pride, against us. A lot of these things I wish I knew before, but there's no going back and changing the past. All you can do is, you know, repent, ask God to forgive you of your ignorance, and ask him to teach you and lead you and continue guiding you in the right direction. And he sees your heart. He knows your heart. He knows when you genuinely want change. He knows when you genuinely want to do something different and you want something better. So he's gonna help you as long as he sees that your heart is pure. An example of this would be if you're asking God to help you with lust because you're struggling with lusting after women or men alike. You know, you're struggling with watching pornography. You're struggling with temptation. If you ask him to help you with these things, but you refuse to do what it takes for that to happen, removing certain people from your social media. I had to take a lot of people off my social media, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, because they were posting things that the enemy would use as temptation for me, especially Twitter. Oh my gosh. Things that out of pocket. And I couldn't take it. I was like, oh no. You know, I can't be scrolling through Twitter looking for a laugh, a giggle or two, and then I come across some nonsense. You know, the enemy will use whatever avenue he can to tempt you, to get you to be led astray, to get you to fall. Okay, he's gonna use exactly what he knows you're struggling with against you. And once you realize what you're struggling with and you make the decision to pursue God and you ask him for his help in regards to this thing, it's not gonna get easier. I mean, at some point it does get easier, but immediately after, you're gonna have to expect a struggle and you're gonna have to continue to pursue God all the more, because only he can help you get through that thing. Other people, don't look to other people's opinions. Don't look to other people for advice, because they're gonna lead you astray. They're going to lead you astray, okay? The only one you can depend on when you're going through these things, when you're battling with these things, when you're about to take this walk seriously, is God. He is the only one who will not lead you astray, because people are faulty and we have our own opinions, and what God does for one person in order to help them with their purity walk may not be what he does for another person. We're all different. Yeah, deactivating your social media, deleting your social media. I tried to hold on to my spam account on Instagram for so long, and just the other day, I actually made the decision to delete it, like for good. I had it deactivated for the longest, but I finally made the decision to delete it. And I have to wait until February for it to go through, which is dumb. But it's deleting, because there's nothing on that account for me. There's people who are stuck in their ways. There's people who are stuck in sin. There's people who were negative influences on me, people who I wanted to be like, people who are attached to negative memories, people who are attached to negative experiences in my past when I was still in sexual sin, when I was still doing drugs, when I was still depressed. There's no place in my life right now for that. There's no reason for me to hold on to that account. So social media is a big one. Your playlist, what you're choosing to listen to. I promise you, you can live without your rap music. You can live without your R&B. You can live without your depression music. I promise you. I thought before I came into a relationship with God that music was all I had. That my depression music, Beach House, Sabrina Claudio, Janae Aiko, Joji, Little did I know, these things were just holding me back. And that's not to say that every now and then you can't go back and listen to a song that you really like, but is it worth feeling like that just to listen to that song? Find other things that help you feel good. Find other things that aren't gonna make you sit and soak in your depression and sit and soak in your misery. Find other things that make you happy, at least until you're able to sever these ties. Some people are able to sever their ties with certain memories attached to music, and they can listen to the music like it's nothing. And some people, they stop listening to this music and they never go back, and they're all the better for it, you know? It just depends on you and what you know you're struggling with, what holds you back. If you really like rap, if you really like R&B, if you really like hip hop, there's Christian rap. I just discovered it not too long ago, and it's amazing! I'm actually gonna leave a link to the playlist I found in the description box because, psh, mind blown. Mind blown. And it's rap. It sounds like the stuff I used to love listening to, only it's wholesome. It doesn't make me feel gross for listening to it. It doesn't make me feel degraded. They don't rap about the stuff these rappers who have sold their souls for fame rap about. That's a whole nother video. All of these things tie into purity. So, what is the final takeaway? I had to learn the hard way that I do not know everything. That the people who raised me, the people who I grew up around, who had my best interest at heart, they do not know everything. And a lot of the things I wish I could take back from my past, a lot of the things that I did growing up because I thought it was okay because that's what I was taught, a lot of the things that I was told were okay that led me to doing other things, I can't take back the past. I can't go back and change it. And even if I could, I don't think I would, because everything that happened in my past, you know, everything the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for good, and that's what he desires to do for you too. And everything that was done to you, anybody who took advantage of you, anybody who hurt you, anybody who led you astray, because they were in and of themselves hurting, and they had things that they were going through as well, which is no excuse, and I'm not saying it's okay, but hurt people do hurt people. In order for us to heal, we have to recognize that God loves those people as well. In order for us to move forward, in order for us to move past our past, we have to ask God to help us forgive those people. We have to ask him for the grace to recognize that those people are also his children, and he also desires better for them as well. And the first step to healing is asking God to help you forgive those who led you astray, who did hurt you, who did teach you things that were wrong, who did make you believe that what you were doing was okay and they weren't really good role models. What I had to learn is that I could have sat where I was and I could have chosen to be upset, to be hurt, to beat myself up for not having known any better. And I could have said, I give up. I think I mentioned this in one of my other videos. We all have that innate desire for better, for more, for different. That is God pulling on our heartstrings. That desire is our yearning to pursue our higher call, and that is to glorify God. That's to be in relationship with God. If any part of what I said in this lengthy video today spoke to you, if it resonated with you, I urge you to find some time to sit in private and just reflect. If you write, write. I love to write. Let him know how you feel about your past. Let him know that you feel ashamed, that you feel guilty, that you feel bad for not having known any better. Let him know that you wish you could change things, but you know you can't. And ask him to help you unpack that baggage. Ask him to help you unpack your past, your resentment towards whoever led you astray, your resentment towards whoever hurt you, whoever took advantage of you. Ask him to give you the grace to forgive those people, because the first step to healing is forgiveness. And it's not easy. It is not easy. We were never told it was going to be easy. We're meant to look to Jesus as our example of who we should aspire to be like while we are walking on this earth. I'm pretty sure I mentioned this in one of my other videos, but I'm just going to say it again because it's so important. But Matthew 6:15 says, "But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours." That's God letting us know that in order for us to heal, in order for us to be forgiven, we have to put our pride aside and be willing to forgive those who have hurt us. And trust me, God will take care of them for what they did to you. It's selfish of us to expect God to forgive us for all of our sins and not be willing to forgive the next. When you are able to learn how to forgive those people, it sets you free. And then once you are free from that resentment and that bitterness and that hatred or whatever you may be feeling, you have more room to open yourself to God and you have more room to accept the love that He has for you. It truly is amazing being able to forgive those who have hurt you. And it's not easy, but it's so worth it. So yeah, take the time to think about everything I talked about and see where it applies in your life and bring it to God. Ask him for help with these things. Pray, repent, ask for forgiveness for the things that you did. Ask for forgiveness for the things that were done to you, because even though they weren't voluntary, even though it wasn't something you would have chosen for yourself, you know, especially if it was sexual abuse or molestation or rape, you know, a contract was formed in the spirit and it's a horrible thing, but bring it to God and let Him know what's on your heart and repent for it, and let Him know that you want to do better, that you desire better, and you know that He needs to be the one to help you obtain what you desire, because only He knows what is good for you. Watch what He does in your life. Watch what He does with your heart and how He transforms your mind. He's going to teach you. He's going to show you the things around you that have been hindering you this whole time. He's going to open your eyes to how other people in your life are being hindered. And it's not your job to let these people know, hey, you're faulty in this area. You shouldn't be doing that. God says don't do that. There comes a time for that. But while you're still immature in your faith, while you're still learning how to trust God and learning how to hear His voice and learning about what He desires for your personal purity walk, let Him speak to you. Spend time with Him and focus on Him, you know, and try to focus less on how you can change others, but more about how God desires for your heart to change and for you to change from the inside out. I'm so sorry this video was so long. Oh my goodness, that just goes to show how important of a topic this is. And honestly, I could go on and on and on. And there are so many things I touched on that I know I could make a whole video about separately. But I really hope that this spoke to somebody. I'm almost positive it's going to. That's why God led me to do this. And I hope it made sense. If you guys have any questions, don't hesitate to leave them in the comments or find my social media in the description box below. Yeah. Happy New Year again. I hope you all have a blessed morning, afternoon, evening, whatever time it is, wherever you are. I'll catch y'all in my next video. Bye!